And so the next technique, surprisingly, is one of the techniques that shifts up to the top of the list of natural techniques in the research compendium that you'll find will really provide wonderful results for you. And what I want to describe is this technique is the icy water technique. Now, let me first of all explain why this particular technique works. We have two very separate and independently functional nervous systems that keep us alive. They are called the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system controls all of the functions of our body, like pulse, breathing, distribution of the water, hydration, etc., without our even knowing or bothering with having to have any control over what the body is doing. It's really quite a miracle. We activate the sympathetic nervous system when we need to be in full control. That is, for example, when we're confronting a bear, when taking a hike, or imagining that we are having to be the supervisor of 20 people, none of whom are doing the jobs that they were assigned to do. I mean, that's obviously a stress nightmare. Now, when you are anxious or you have anxiety attacks, your sympathetic nervous system is running full steam ahead. The parasympathetic nervous system has literally been closed out. It's been shut down for really practical purposes. Your body cannot both be racing and chilling out at the same time. The sympathetic nervous system is in control, and that's what's driving your anxiety. And so dominant that you rarely have the mental breaks that are needed to disengage it. The fuel of anxiety is adrenaline and cortisol and other hormones. And how do you turn all of that off? No doubt all of you, myself included, have tried over and over to use our thinking, our mental abilities to say, okay, I know I'm anxious. I know I'm stressed. This is not right. Ooh, let me calm down. But guess what? It helps a little tiny bit. But the fact is that it might sometimes even make the stress and the anxiety worse. What does the research say you can do that will pretty instantly switch off the sympathetic nervous system and turn on the parasympathetic nervous system? Now think of it as a switch. Instead of your heating or air conditioning system running on air conditioning, it's running on heating. So it's already 95 degrees outside, and your system is turned on heat. Oh, my God, it's supposed to be air conditioning. Turn it off. Can't get it turned off. The house inside gets to be 95, 100, 105. This is wrong. We've got to get the air conditioning turned on. How do you turn the switch so that the heat is turned off and the air conditioning is turned on? It's really the very same process. The bottom line is that a balance of hormones is needed for our bodies to generate hormone and the other chill-out hormones. The two very different nervous systems, the sympathetic will always overpower and overwhelm the parasympathetic, which is the, if I could describe it as the henpecked companion. So the good guy in this system really is the parasympathetic, and if I could describe it rather crassly, the bad guy is the sympathetic. Now, don't get me wrong. We need them both to function and to live. But when it comes to who's going to overpower the other, the sympathetic is going to always be the bully in this situation. They're going to always prevail. When it comes to addressing the symptoms of Parkinson's, the sympathetic nervous system is the bad guy, and the parasympathetic nervous system is always the good guy. We want to turn on that parasympathetic, and we want to either turn off or certainly turn down the volume of the sympathetic nervous system. Now, remember, we need the both. But when you've got neurological challenges, that sympathetic nervous system is just tearing our neural networks apart. And by the way, one of the long-term implications of being always on overdrive, always having a sympathetic nervous system that is in full steam ahead, is the myelin sheaths that cover the neural pathways begin to thin, and then all of a sudden there's no myelin sheath at all that covers the neural networks, which is, of course, what ultimately is a contributor to tremors. So anxiety has to be calmed to disengage the full throttle of the sympathetic nervous system and to reactivate the dormant parasympathetic nervous system. Though, of course, it's going to continue still to function, regulating our primary function. So don't get me wrong, it's not totally turned off. It's just that the dominant system winds up being the one that's pumping out all the hormones that are creating such problems that we're having with anxiety. Okay, so how in the world do you get the attention of the sympathetic nervous system to slow down and to quiet down and to rest? Hello, you've been, you know, churning here for the last 6 hours. How about let's take a rest? You do not do this by persuasion or hope. It seems so very complicated, right? How in the world do we suddenly turn that switch off? Well, it's actually not complicated at all. You can make it happen instantly using the icy water treatment. After all, if you want to turn someone off, don't you give them the icy water treatment stare? And it's pretty quick. I know I can do that with the children. All you have to do is to give them that icy stare, and they immediately know, okay, I'm going to stop. All right, I get it. You don't even have to say anything at all. Here is how to set up the icy water treatment so that it is available always when it is needed, which may be a number of times throughout the day. And I'm going to give you a little explanation of this system. Obviously, you want to modify this so that it works for you. The idea is that you don't go through a 5-minute preparation to get the icy water prepared, but you can always have it available so that throughout the day, when all of a sudden there was a crazy thing that happened in your life, you could run to the refrigerator, get out the icy cold water, and immerse your hands into the water. So you want to find a readily available large bowl, a bowl that's large enough for your two hands to fit inside. I've pictured here in the notes the bowl that I found in my own house. And then you want to grab an ice cube tray. Of course, if you have a refrigerator that just pumps out the ice, you want to just pull out the ice directly into the bowl that you found. Then you fill the bowl about halfway up or so with water. And of course, make sure that the ice cubes are in the water to make it icy cold. And then right away, after you've done this and the water is cold enough, when you are ready, you want to immerse your two hands into the icy cold water for as long as you can, but it actually only needs to be about 15 seconds. If you can keep your hands in there a little bit longer, great. You don't want to keep them in there so long that your hands are turning purple. So it may be only 10 seconds or 15 seconds. It's as easy as that. So you keep the bowl of cold water handy and readily available, preferably in your refrigerator at home, and you can use it always when you need it. You don't even have to take the bowl out of your refrigerator. You can just dip your hands right directly in there for about 10 or 15 seconds. And it's always readily available. And then, of course, you might want to prepare a fresh, icy, cold bowl every other day to make sure that it's really cold. Now, when you're not at home and you don't have that icy cold water readily available, I want to just suggest, well, just bring in your man bag. If you have that, I have a man bag I carry everywhere, or a knapsack, or your purse or your pocketbook. Just put a very small wash rag in that. And if you're, for example, out somewhere, maybe you're having some dinner with friends and somebody said something or did something that made you very anxious, well, excuse yourself, go to the bathroom, turn on the cold water, put the rag with the cold water, rinse it out, and then put it on your face. And I think what you'll find is that really accomplishes the same thing. So do it, and do it on a regular basis, and see if that is not a system that you'll find will really help you all of a sudden adjust the anxiety that you are actually experiencing throughout the day. Now, remember that anxiety is going to change. It'll shift as you move throughout the day. And so the idea that I'm suggesting to you is, as you're noticing anxiety is getting just a bit worse and more problematic, All right. When that happens, what you'll want to do is to say, okay, wait a minute. Let's calm this degree of excitation down. And what I want to do now is to say, okay, let's do something that will shift how I'm feeling. This really will result in a reduction of your symptoms, which, of course, is what this is all about. In the end, a lot of the anxiety has an origination in trauma that we experienced earlier in life, which has a profound impact on the fact that we are so easily anxious about many situations. And so the key here is to say, okay, there are reasons why you're anxious. They come from a long time away, a place that's far, far away from you now. But what you can do is just to acknowledge, okay, yeah, there are lots of reasons why this is happening to me, but what I can do in the moment is something about them.